Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter. We'll wake up. America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a good half of the week. Pray that you're strong in the Lord and that you're pressing on and being that light in that world. Being that witness, right? Reaching those. Being the hands and feet of Jesus. If you guys are following this podcast, this is part 7. I encourage you guys to check out part 1. It is a discipleship series on the first 4, I think, or 5. I can't quite remember. Really getting down to the ABCs of salvation. And to me, those are really lost. The fundamental understanding, and of course, dealing with sin, of course, going to Genesis 1, 2, 3, tells us the account, the historical accurate account of creation, regardless of what the school system may tell you. God created this world, not evolution, not natural selection. God created this world. And he knew you and me before we were even in our mother's womb. He knew and knows the end. He knows the he knew the beginning. He knows the end. And we are humble servants of him to keep pressing on. In this, well, tonight, part 7, we're going to look at spiritual warfare. And I touched on this a little bit, I believe, last week, and I encourage you guys to check that one out. And of course, if you're not really understanding what salvation is, or not understanding what it means to be a child of God, I encourage you guys to go check those out. And if you have any questions, please just text me. You can PM me. You can, through this website, you can send me questions. And you know, I'll do my best to get back with you as soon as possible. Salvation is very important. Understanding who we are in Christ and what it means to be a child of God. To me, especially in America, we have lost the ABCs. I don't know if it's just poor teaching in the pulpits or what, but a lot of people cannot even answer questions or define what salvation is through the scriptures. And that's one key doctrine that we need to get, and we need to understand it. And the scriptures that we're looking at tonight will be Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. That's Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. You see, when we come to the kingdom of God, and we are now part of the army of God, we are soldiers for Christ. We march, or we should be marching, into that light. We are light bearers standing against the agents of darkness. And of course, we touched on the fall of Lucifer and his angels. And we know Lucifer is now Satan and the demons. Satan, the devil, the angels are demons. We can get that indirectly through the scriptures that the angels, the fallen angels, are demonic. They're demons. They're darkness too. And we also last week talked a little bit about how Satan or the devil organizing. My dog here is playing with his squeak toy, so you guys may hear a little squeaking in the background. I apologize for that. But it kind of distracted me a little bit. I guess doing it at home, doing these podcasts at home, you can hear all kind of background noise, but let me actually take that from him. No. So we have, you know, we touched on Satan and the devil, and of course we looked at the fall of man, the curse, the original sin, and of course we know at the Garden of Eden, the original sin, the fall of man, that was the beginning of warfare on this earth. And we know the account, or should know, in Genesis 1 through 3, is historical, it's accurate. It gives It tells us God created this world. It was perfect. We know that God created man, Adam, and then woman, which later was named Eve. But we know that Satan entered into the serpent. I take that literally. And he was able to deceive Eve and Adam. See, these guys, Adam and Eve, me, my personal opinion, because the curse did not enter to the world until they took of the tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were not corrupt by any of the, I guess, inadequacies that we have today. So I believe that they were able to use 100% of their mind. And today, most biologists or neurosurgeons or neural career path professions would say, you know, we at most a person can use 10% of their mind, which is rare. Me personally, I believe it's probably about 2 to 5%. It's just my opinion. Turn on the TV and look at the stupidity that's going on. They're not definitely operating at 10% of capacity. But we know that Satan entered the serpent. And we know there was a tree, the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And we know that God commanded Adam first not to eat. If he did, he would surely die, right? And then, of course, woman was created and later she becomes Eve. And somehow, you know, something wasn't communicated straight. Or she didn't get it, we don't really know. But we do know this. She disobeyed the commandment. She ate of that tree. And then, of course, Adam followed right behind her in eating the fruit on that tree. And when they did, they realized they were naked and ashamed. And we see that sin entered the world. And that's where we get the curse, the fall of man. Of course, God called them out on this sin. Of course, he cursed the serpent and Adam and Eve. And, of course, the earth and the curse. Well, that's why we have all the sickness and pain and sorrow, physical death, virus, homelessness, children going hungry every night, sex trafficking, domestic violence, broken family, broken lives, drug addiction, porn addiction, sexual morality, idolatry, hurricanes, tornadoes. I mean, the list just goes on and on, right? It's curse. This world's curse. But we know in Genesis 3:15, before he pronounced this curse, God provided a prophetic, first prophetic message in Genesis that one day he would send Jesus Christ. And this would be start a beginning of correction that will lead to the second coming of Jesus one day. And when he comes, all things will be created new, right? See, do not ever believe that God does not care and God does not love you. He does. He loves you more than what you can imagine. But we also have to remember he's a holy, he's a righteous God. And because of sin, Adam and Eve, this spiritual death, which leads to a physical death. That's what he's speaking. You surely would die. But it was through the blood that he killed an animal or animals. And this actually marked the sacrificial system that we see throughout the whole Old Testament. That was set place. That was pointing to a perfect sacrifice. That was the Lamb of God. The perfect Lamb was Jesus Christ. And the blood that was shed on the cross, that blood is atonement. And we know that he was taken down from the cross. He was dead and he was placed in that tomb. And on the third day he rose. Right? Amen. And we know he rose and he was seen by many. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 15:1-10. When he ascended after 40 days with being with the disciples and others, He said he wasn't going to leave us comfortless. And of course, he left us the Holy Spirit. And of course, the promise of his second coming that we are anticipating, that is our blessed hope. Of course, until Jesus comes back, we will, no matter of your opinion, according to the Word of God, we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. I mean, we are in a spiritual war, right? You got light. That's Jesus. That's the angels. You got darkness. Satan, his demons. Jesus comes to give us life. And of course, we know Satan, his demons, they want to destroy life. If he would help, it may help if you view spiritual warfare as a close examination of the individual battles or challenges that we face on an everyday basis. We may not be able to see the spiritual realm, but we can experience the physical consequences in this world. And don't think the lost or the unsaved don't play a role in this. See, they're not part of the kingdom of God at this time. They have not confessed or believed in our Savior. And these guys, they're being used by Satan and his demons to attack us, believers. They are part of the army of darkness that's coming against the army of light. One example can be school shootings. It's such sad to hear about school shootings, but those who are doing these shootings are being influenced by demonic spirits to take life. We may not see the demons pulling the strings, but we can see the aftermath. I don't know if you guys can think of Columbine. I don't know if you guys ever seen this movie. I recommend this movie. It's called I Am Not Ashamed. It tells us this girl who was shot. And it kind of gives her story as she was struggling with her faith and trying to find her way. And she was actually helping other students and doing kind of like Bible studies. And she was shot. Hillary Scott, I believe was her name. If you get an opportunity to watch that movie, it's sad. It's a sad movie. But when we can get really angry at them guys killing these children, but we got to understand, they're not pulling the trigger. They're being influenced by demons. It's sad, right? Even when we look at the government today, we can get really upset. And I know I can get upset when you're seeing things being passed, like abortion on demand and homosexuality, marriages and this and that, and sexual morality just labeled as normal. We got to keep in mind, guys, when Jesus died, he died for all. I know some people want to get very controversial on the all part, but he died for all. He even died for the ones that sometimes we have a hard time watching them on TV, like, or I'm not going to get political, but when you're looking at godless leaders in government that are pointing to Satan, he died for them too. And we should be in prayer for our leaders in our nation. We shouldn't pray for their demise, for evil to happen to them. We should pray that they will receive Jesus into their life. Because only thing that truly matters in the end, guys, is if you're a child of God or if you're a child of Satan. If you're a child of God, you go to heaven. If you're a child of Satan, you go to hell. And I don't want to see nobody go to hell. It's a sad think of everlasting torment. I say all of that to get to our main reading tonight, and that is Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. That was a long introductory. I was just trying to, once again, go back to part one and You'll see more breakdown there. But Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 says this. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Guys, bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, Lord, I pray this message reach whoever it needs to reach out into, I guess, the internet, or I don't know how this message will, I don't know who's listening to it. All I know is that you wanted me to do this website and this podcast, Lord. So there's somebody out there that needs to hear these messages, Lord. I pray that you be with me as I deliver these messages, that you guide and you direct the words I need to say. I pray that these words go out and they reach the hearts of many. It changes their lives. They realize they need to study the Bible more. They realize they got to pray more. Realize they have to seek your face daily, because not of obligation, but because of love. Lord, I pray if those who are listening that don't know you yet, Lord, that I pray through the scriptures, through the Bible, because it's all about you, that the scriptures draw them to you and they seek your face and they give their life to you and they join the army of God. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we got Paul here. And he is in prison, guys. He's writing this epistle. You can imagine being in prison and writing about spiritual warfare, right? But see, Paul knew a thing or two about spiritual warfare. This is the same Paul who was beaten several times, was stoned to death, which some believe he was dead and he was restored. Nevertheless, being stoned to death, or being stoned, sounds painful, right? Shipwrecked, of course, thrown into prison. I don't know many people that can say they've experienced one of these things, especially in America at this time, but that may change. Most of the struggle just to make it to Sunday service and don't even think about being different the rest of the week. And heaven forbid if your pastor or your preacher or evangelist, your Bible teacher tells our life is supposed to be different, and they step on your toes, and then you're like, oh, well, we're going to get rid of him and find somebody else. I promise you, you can find more heretics than those proclaiming the truth. And that heretic will lead you straight to hell. But I'll tell you, that will never be me. I will tell you the truth until my last dying breath. But we have Paul here through the Holy Spirit. He's writing this letter to his audience to recognize spiritual warfare. And of course, this letter is also very true to us today. It means the same as it mean back in those days of Paul. You can see that Paul is pointing and warning that the devil is cunning. When we look at verse 10, actually to 11, he's telling us our power is in God. But verse 11 said, we put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That wiles, that schemes, that That's traps. The devil tries to lie out for the children of God. But we do not have to fall for his schemes, his wiles. I'm a country boy, and most of you guys probably know that by now, especially if you listen to these podcasts or our devotionals. And I used to go trapping with my grandfather, and I've told this story several times, but not too many times. And if you've ever been trapping, and we were trapping raccoons, he taught me how to look for tracks and water areas where they would be drinking or cleaning. You know, raccoons, they like to clean their food. And kind of finding the patterns so we knew where we would put the traps at. See, they would have a distinct pattern of where they would get their food and where they would wash their food, and that's where we would set the traps. The devil does the same thing. He watches our patterns. He watches our movements. He don't know all, but he's really good at human psychology. He knows how to press those buttons. But I want to tell you, our God is stronger than anything he can lay out for us. When we stand, as you see in verse 10, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. When we stand strong in the Lord, not because of anything that we are special, but because of what God has done for us, sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross and the blood to be spilt. And we stand in that power of the might because there's nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus that was shed. That take away all the sins of the world. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The power of the blood. There's nothing more stronger than the blood of Jesus. And as we walk through this world, as children of light, we don't walk by ourselves. We have the Holy Spirit living in each and every one of us. And with the Holy Spirit's assistance, we're able to put on the full armor of God. And if you look at Paul's day, he was relating the armor to what Roman soldiers had to put on and maintain daily. Each piece of that armor had a function. If one piece was missing, the whole armor was not effective. It would be not as strong as it should be. All pieces work together like a well-oiled machine. You know, if you're driving a car or a vehicle and you don't do oil changes or tune-ups when it's supposed to be, you will see your car will start making noises. It's not operating like a well-oiled machine. Oil is very important to a car for the engine. Keep everything lube. Spark plugs. Got to be changed. Tires get wore out. They got to be changed. If one part of the car is not working, then chances are you might end up broken down on the highway sooner or later. And tonight, we're going to look at that first piece of armor that Paul was speaking of here. The loins girded with truth. Interesting term, right? Loins girded with truth. Paul was using this illustration to convey a very important message, a point. See, in that day, the Roman soldiers, the attire and the equipment, many people would have been aware of. And if it helps, you can view this loins girded with truth as a belt of truth. So the belt was fastened. It was important to understand that belt needed to be firmly fastened in place. Before any of the other armor would go on. You can see one example in the wintertime. Soldiers, the Roman soldiers would wear these long robes. You could call them tunics. The first thing a soldier would do to get ready for battle was to gird up his loins. Meaning he would lift that robe up and tuck it into his belt. This was very important, the girding. Tucking the robe in the belt, because it was, if it was not firmly in that robe, that tunic. And they were in the middle of battle and it came untucked. They could trip over that. It becomes a possible a distraction that will allow the enemy, or possibly the enemy, to get the upper hand. To deliver a significant attack on you, on your life. So as the belt was important for the Roman soldiers, this belt is very important for us as children, as soldiers of God. It is a spiritual belt, truth. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says this, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. John 14 verse 6 says this, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. John 16:13 says, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever shall hear, they shall speak. He, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. John 8:31-32 says this, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, ye continue in my word, ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, it will make you free. 1 John 4:6 says this, 1 John 4:6, we are of God, he that know God hear us, he that is not of God hear not us, whereby we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You got truth and you got error today, guys. Within these passages shows you how important truth is. Regardless what this world is telling you today, this world is Satan's world. They will try to tell you a false truth. They will try to tell you that there are many ways to the Father. Of course, we know John 14:6, what I just read, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Only through Jesus that we get to the Father. And that Father is in heaven. And that heaven is those that believe on his Son. Really simple, you think, right? Not so. Many people, even professing Christians, especially in America, would disagree with this. There they disagree with the word of God, then they are not a child of God. And that will make, they will get very offended. But somebody needs to tell them the truth. And of course, the point of this whole series was to try to break down salvation, even though I hope my words don't fail. I'll pray they reach whoever that hears this and it sheds light on salvation for them. The truth. We need that fundamental truth, guys. We stand on the truth, that rock. To know that you're a child of God without any doubt. See, when we know without doubt that we are children of God, the devil cannot attack us in this area. So we can be more useful for Jesus in reaching that world with the gospel. Do not thumb your nose at someone who corrects you with scripture, with the truth. You will hear many times, oh, don't judge me, only God can judge me. They're misquoting a scripture because they want to be saved in their sin and not away from their sin. There are hard lessons in the Word of God. Quit wearing your feelings on your sleeves and man up or woman up. Matthew 7:13-15 is one of those hard truths. Ye enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which lead unto life, and few there will find it. There is a wide, broad way. If that helps, you can think of a path. It looks so good. Everybody's doing it. Oh, you can live in your sin. Oh, there's multiple ways to heaven. No, I don't have to give up anything. Oh, I can have all the nice things in this world without no sacrifice. I can lie, cheat, steal, and steal without no conviction or chastisement of the Holy Spirit, no consequence for my action. Oh, I want that Christianity. That's a false Christianity. That's a wide way. And of course, many others will hear the gospel and they will not want to accept it. Period. They want nothing to do with it. They have that option, right? And of course, Jesus tells us here there is a different path, a different way, and this is a narrow way, and this will lead to life. It tells us sin breaks God's heart. It should break ours. It tells us there's only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus. It tells us there is a cost to discipleship. It tells us we will be uncomfortable. It tells us that we may experience persecution in this life for Jesus' name's sake, but that's fine. We should count it all joy, right? I want to tell you, me personally, I'd rather someone tell me the truth than give me a comfortable lie. I'd rather somebody tell me get my act together before it's too late. I'd rather someone tell me about heaven and how God loves me, but also tell me about hell. And if I don't change my ways, I will go there. And there's a devil that wants my soul. Jesus Christ is the fundamental truth we hang everything else on. His word is truth. He does not lie. Satan, he's a liar. He's a father of lies. There's no truth in him. Satan has not changed his game. He attacks God's words. He attacks his word. Then he attacks it now. He attacks the truth by substituting his truth. Came across a few questions, I guess. How this world defines truth. And just listen to these. I pray that you don't fall in these categories. Because this is the truth of the world. This is the truth of Satan. This is the truth that this world wants you to cling to. Take care of yourself first and foremost. No one else will, right? Ain't that the American way? Second, the Bible was written centuries ago. It's just not relevant anymore in some areas. Besides, you look like an anti-intellectual fool if you defend the Bible in this day and age. Third, truth is irrelevant. What true for you may not be true for me. Tolerance is the word of the day. And who are you to say what right for anyone else anyway? Four, stand up for your rights. The Bible says not to sue your brother in Christ, but it's possible justifiable in this situation. Have you heard the news reports? Christian leaders suing other Christian leaders, even though the Bible says it better to defile them, to defame the church in the name of God. It's better to defraud than to deflame the church in the name of God. Five, we love each other. God understands that we have hormones and sex drives, and we cannot control them. Besides, we're planning to get married one day. Six, marriage between a woman and a man is outdated. Love has no gender. I love my sin, but I want to be part of God's family, I'll just keep it a secret. God's okay with that. He will love me regardless of my sin. He's okay with my sin. 8. Oh, I'm a Christian. I got mine. So I'm not going to enter the spiritual war or do battle. I'm just going to hide out over here and pray that Lord come soon. Heaven forbid your Christianity may cost you something. I pray none of you guys fall in these categories. And if you do, the truth will hurt. You may not even be a child of God. But it's not too late, guys. We can pull away from everything we're doing right now. And we can firmly place our trust. We can firmly come to God tonight. We can get on our knees, or we can... Position doesn't matter. It's the position of the heart, right? We can repent of all these things, these hidden sins in our lives. We can repent of our lukewarmness, our indifference. We can lay it all at the cross. Psalms 39:23-24 says this: Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. This is David calling his sin shamed. He prays, search me. And I pray that too. Lord, search me. Know my heart. Do we pray like that? Lord, look at my life. Lord, look at my heart. Is it true? Do I have the heart for you to reach the lost? To get more involved in outreach in my local church? During this week, do I have the passion, the fire to tell somebody about Jesus? Lord, you know my thoughts. Do they reflect goodness and holiness and righteousness? Do they lead me in the way of everlasting life? Prayer is essential to understand truth. As a child of God, we need to be people of prayer. Prayer is a direct line to God. Our prayer should be like that. Search me, know me, try me. See my heart is right and correct me if it's not. Move my path into your path, Lord. Correct me, chasten me, Jesus. I don't want a day go by without telling somebody about Jesus. Does your life reflect truth? Of those who know you, that are around you. When you're out in that world, can they see that you walk in truth? That light, that you've been changed, that you are different. Can they tell that you're different from this world? Or can they not even tell? More than anything in our nation, we need truth. Our foundation is falling apart because all the fundamental truth that matters is Jesus and the Word of God. When the government and business and whatever organizations out there tell us the Bible is not important, that prayer is not important, we know the true problem with America. It's anti-God. They exercise the spirit of Antichrist. They don't want to hear the truth. And they wonder why everything is falling apart. We need to get back to the truth in our lives. We need to go back to the truth. Our nation to point back to God. Always remember to keep our nation in prayer. In our government in prayer. Our children in our prayers. And of course this world in our prayers. When we sin, our hearts should be ripped out. Right? when we look at this world too, our hearts should be ripped out. All the hate and the anger, the murder of innocence, the pornography, the pull to a socialistic government that wants to control everything, that wants to tell us how we should worship in our churches and how many people should come in. Our government don't have no place within our church or to regulate what we do in our church. They overstepping their boundaries. We need to keep our nation in our prayers. Truth, guys. Truth. In closing, we are in a spiritual war. Spiritual warfare. And as the beginning of this podcast, we look at spiritual warfare, kind of definition of it. I'll go back over it again. You might want to write it down or listen to this podcast over and over. Let me scroll up to it. Well, if I could find the definition here. Spiritual warfare. A close examination of individual battles or challenges that we can face on an everyday basis. We may not be able to see the spiritual realm, but we experience the physical consequences of it in this world. And we got to understand part of that is the lost and the unsaved being used by our enemy to accomplish his purpose. They are part of the darkness and we are part of the light. When we see people acting unholy and godlessness, our hearts should be ripped out for them, because they're under the influence of demonic forces. And part of the spiritual warfare is you recognize there is a war. And that our enemy, Satan and his demons, are pulling the strings to those that have not accepted Christ into their lives. But us as children of God, when we come to Him, when we believe on Him, and when we confess on Him, our heart is changed. We're no longer the same. We are regenerated. We have now entered in the army of God. There is no, I'm not going to enter the army of God. That is part of salvation. You are now a soldier for Jesus Christ, if you like it or not. That is part of it. They may not have hit you with that as you were praying, or when they tell you to pray a prayer, which is, you know, that they, the evangelistic movement of saying this prayer, I close and say this little prayer with me, is not biblical. You cannot see nowhere in Scripture where Jesus says, say this little prayer and you're saved. He tells us to believe and confess. But ain't no magical formula. It's about the heart. And when you talk about heart, it's about the whole being. It's about giving your life completely over to Jesus. Surrendering all. Surrendering all. Counting the costs, right? They won't tell you about counting the costs. You may hear it tonight and scratch your head like, I wasn't told this. You're hearing it tonight, though. We join the army of God. And now we are light bearers. And those in this world that Satan has a hand on, we are to move forward in reaching those. Not because of our own strength, because of what the Holy Spirit has done in our lives. And He has equipped us with the armor of God. And the part of this armor that we looked at tonight is loins girded with truth. That spiritual truth. That truth is in Jesus Christ. He is the only truth. This world will tell you that Jesus didn't exist. This world will tell you that the crucifixion was a hoax. It's all lies. The enemy wants you to feel like Jesus didn't exist. But I'm telling you, He exists. And He was the Son, or is the Son of God. He had to die on that cross. And the blood had to be shed for atonement. And we know that He was taken down from that cross. He was laid in the tomb. That third day He rose. And that power that is in Jesus is the same power that we have. Not because of my opinion, because of what Ephesians 6:10 says. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And of course, you can cross-reference that. It's all through the Bible. The same power that Jesus had on this earth is the same power that we can have. Not because something hyper charismatic or that points to that person, what you're seeing in these movements when they're doing all these things that they're proclaiming to do. They're trying to glorify themselves. No, it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. Even salvation is not about us. It's about what Jesus has done for us. It points to Him. When we don't want to point to ourselves, we got problems. But He tells us we got the armor of God. We can girt ourselves with truth. And the rest of the pieces attach on. And what we will do, we will look at the other pieces. Next four or five podcasts. And that will put this whole podcast up to about 11, I guess, sermon series, 11 parts, which is long. So to get the full grasp of this podcast is to listen to them all. We need to realize it's not us. We need to realize our prayers need to be daily. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. Our hearts should be on fire for God. We should be humbled that we serve a holy and righteous God that loves us so much. All right. Prayer is central to all of this. Praying, Lord, search me, know my thoughts. Prayer, use me today to reach those around me. Not in my own strength, but in yours, Lord. Because through all things I can do through your strength, not mine. Not because there's anything special about Jonathan Ritter or whoever's out there. It's because of what has already been done for us. Pray that this study or teaching, preaching series tonight was helpful. Apologize for my dog. He was chewing on his squeak toy, so you probably will hear that at the very beginning. Got a little distracted. If you guys have any questions about salvation, about the, and of course, I have a spiritual warfare Bible study. It's maybe 10 lessons now on that. I encourage you guys to check that out. Not because I'm trying to glorify myself, just trying to be the one crying out in the wilderness to those that will listen, to prepare yourself. Armor up. Some would think 2020 was a bad year. I'll tell you, 2021 might be worse. Armor up. Know that God's in control. Understand the spiritual warfare. Be able to define spiritual warfare through the scriptures. Memorize Ephesians 10 through 19 or 18 there. Tattoo it on your heart. Equip yourself for battle. Because our strength is in the Lord and the power of His might. As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come tonight, thanking you for your opportunity, Lord, just to preach and teach your gospel. Lord, I pray anywhere I've failed you during this time, that you forgive me. I pray, Lord, through my shortcomings, that your message speaks for itself. That it reaches those that need to hear a message in this time and age. A time where the truth of the gospel is being watered down. How America has lost her fundamental understanding of the gospel about sin, repentance. Without those, we can't understand what it means to be a child of God. And we cannot understand the cost of discipleship or spiritual warfare. Lord, I pray anybody that hears this message tonight, they heed the warnings. They may be on that wide way that leads to destruction. I pray, Lord, you hit their heart tonight. You bring them to their knees. And they seek truly to walk the way you need them to walk. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.